Small Biz America.
This is Small Biz Spotlight, featuring up-close interviews with small business leaders and entrepreneurs across America. And now, here's your host, David Wolf.
Our guests are married to each other, and they love to travel. Judith Fine and Paul Ross have garnered multiple awards for their travel articles and have contributed stories and photos to more than 80 magazines and newspapers internationally. They also give travel performances and talks, make videos, teach travel writing and photography, and take people on cultural immersion trips to many exotic locales. And most of all, they believe that getting to know people in other countries contributes to global connectedness and world peace. Joining us on the line from their offices at Global Adventure in Santa Fe, New Mexico, our award-winning travel journalists, Judith Fine and Paul Ross. Judy and Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good morning, David.
When you consider all the businesses that one might try to do as an entrepreneur or a small business, the travel writer would certainly be most appealing and at the top of the list. What events in your lives led to getting engaged in this fascinating work that you now do?
Well, I was a Hollywood writer, and I made a lot of money, but I was really miserable and wanted to change my life. And my younger sister said to me, hey, there's a new show on National Public Radio. And I said, why would they want me? And she said, give it a try. So we had a little recording studio in our home at the time, and I went downstairs and I recorded a piece about checking in to a monastery for a week of doing a silent retreat and how I got into food fights with nuns and almost got arrested. And I recorded it, and I sent it in, and 4 days later, they asked me to be a regular on the show. It's called The Savvy Traveler on National Public Radio. And from there, once I started doing regular pieces, I said to myself, maybe I could write for a magazine now that I have a platform, a national or international platform.
Yeah.
And I wrote to magazines, they responded, newspapers, and that's how I got started.
How long did it take to get to the point where it was really a bona fide business?
I would say about 3 years.
I would say it's still going on. As the travel industry and business in general changes, you have to keep reinventing yourself as the industry changes and becomes a moving target. So you can't just, for instance, you can't just be a writer anymore. You have to do more. You have to provide, that's where I come in multiple areas, provide images and now video. Even smaller magazines and newspapers are in many cases for local reporting slapping a camera in the hands of their field reporters and saying, you're now in broadcast. So we have to keep up with that as well.
What is it about traveling that you find so fascinating? I know you've talked offline about how it changes the way you perceive your own life and the world. Speak to that, if you would, a little bit, just about the experience of traveling itself.
When you live in your daily life, you're in a box. This is my opinion, whether you know it or not. You belong to a political party, a religion, whatever it is, you have a fairly circumscribed way of seeing the world, and the people around you do too. Mm. And if you turn on the news is even in a box. It's in an American box. When you travel, it lifts you immediately out of the box. I always say, think outside the bus. You travel to another country, and everything changes. People don't necessarily think the way you do, eat the way you do, pray the way you do, exercise the way you do. And being in a different environment, if you go with an open heart, that's all you need to pack. Throw in a couple of pieces of clothes and pack an open heart. And you're learning all the time. It's like you're in the continuing education of life. And it opens up your brain. If you go to a country and then you come back and you hear that country on the news, you'll never look at that country the same way again. You have a personal involvement in it. It opens your brain, your heart, your emotions. It's a great way to heal from pain because you're in the present. You're responding to new things that are happening all around you all the time.
We're visiting with
Fudge. And I would add to that, you don't even have to go to a foreign country. You can travel domestically and be surprised by things you haven't experienced and people that you haven't even discovered sometimes in your own city. We go for a walk and have an adventure because we try to be in the moment and try and be travelers even at home.
We're visiting with Judith Fine and Paul Ross, the website www.globaladventure.us. Let's talk about the logistics of the work that you do. What's the cycle look like or the process of planning, going, reporting, recording, editing, and then ultimately selling the content? If you could just walk us through a cycle.
The first thing you do is you contact a publication and ask if they're interested in the destination. So let's say I'm going to the island of Palau in Micronesia. I craft a very well-written letter, or if I know somebody, I pick up the phone, and I say, we are going to the island of Palau, and we're going to cover the food. You never just give a general query, say, I'm going to Paris, what do you want? I'm going to Palau, what do you want?
Right.
You give them an idea, a specific angle, and say, would you be interested in a story? I query a lot of places because in order to make it pay, you want to have multiple outlets instead of just one newspaper, one magazine, if possible. And as soon as I get interest back, then I contact the destination. I say, we have interest. And then, of course, they're going to help us because they want the print. If I can't get any interest, I still will take the trip, and then we come back. You start hustling and trying to sell it. And it's easier when you come back, actually, because you have very specific ideas from things you've seen.
And to that I'd add, since I mentioned we have to cover it in multiple ways, I take a lot of photos and then edit that afterwards, and video too, depending upon the needs of the particular publication. And when I say publication, again, there are no lines dividing what's print, what's broadcast, what's computing anymore. So you've got to be ready for all of it, and sometimes multiple applications for the same publication. Then I start tailoring the piece for what they need.
So the multiple income stream is a huge part of this, isn't it?
It's mandatory, David. I don't think, given the fact that ad revenues have dropped so much from magazines and newspapers, and the Internet is finding its way in terms of paying people, it's not possible to just be a travel writer. But if you factor in writing...
Or a photographer, even.
Or a photographer, yeah, you have to be able to do multiple things. So if you factor in, this is what we really do for a living. We write articles, we give talks, we teach travel writing, we teach travel photography, we photograph, we make videos, and between all of that, we make a living. We do not make a fabulous living, but you know what? We get invited on trips. If we were making a fabulous living, we would spend it on fabulous trips. We get invited on fabulous trips, which we do not have to pay for, so it equals out.
And to that, I'm adding something new now. I'm adding the fact that I'm taking many of the photos I've done over the years, and I'm doing fine art photography, so I'm moving into that area as well, because I've got some amazing places in some cases that aren't like that anymore. The world is changing so fast, it's going away.
At Global Adventure, you also plan trips.
We call them cultural immersion trips, and we're doing one a year. This year, in May of 2009, we're taking people who are interested to Tunisia. Tunisia is a moderate Muslim nation in North Africa. For Europeans go there the way we go, we in the United States go to the Caribbean or to Mexico.
Or Hawaii.
It's a safe destination, very, very exotic, and we know it well.
On the Mediterranean.
Right on the Mediterranean. And we made two films there. So people who are interested, contact us, generally through our website, which you know is globaladventure.us, and they read, we have the full itinerary photos, and they sign up. But when we tell them in advance, when we take them on these trips, the emphasis is going to be on real cultural immersion. We go to people's house to cook. We'll meet with an imam in a mosque. We go to the home of a musician, and he teaches us about Oriental music.
We ride a camel through the Sahara Desert.
It's constant immersion in the culture, in addition to seeing all the sights. And then we invite people to write. Every day, we say, write about something that happened yesterday. And they write about it, and they read it in front of the group. And by the time they come home, they will never write a Christmas letter the same way again.
And the same thing applies to photography. I help them with that. The emphasis is not on the technical. I try and get that out of the way and demystify it. It's on using a camera as a window to help frame and understand the world. But both writing and photography is to get you fully immersed in the moment. Be right there, right then.
And we've been very lucky because the people who come are group-minded. Everybody gets along. We're howling, laughing every day. They're having adventures. They're life-changing adventures, and they're the trip of a lifetime. It takes us 5 months to put together a trip. because it's so unusual. And hopefully people who travel with us, who learn from us, who hire us, they know very rapidly that we make a distinction between being a tourist and being a traveler. Being a tourist means you have a guidebook or you go with a group, you go to a country, you see the sights. Being a traveler,
it's passive.
It's fairly passive, and everything's arranged for you. Being a traveler means you go to a country, you go to a destination, and you really immerse yourself in it. And we are not group travelers ourselves, so we try to structure the group so that people feel free, independent, they're having their own experiences, but everything is taken care of for them on the logistical level.
But that doesn't necessarily mean anything's, everything is planned out or exactly as planned. If we see something as we're traveling along and it looks interesting, we've done this before. We pull over a bus, hike into a field, and the next thing we're talking to workers or trying to pick olives ourselves, something strange like that.
Yeah.
You never know.
What would you say is the benefit to an individual who's curious to traveling with you as opposed to trying to do it themselves?
What our goal is to teach people how to travel. We figured out early on that people would love to have the most exciting, involved, passionate trip possible, but they really don't know how. They're afraid to talk to people. They don't know how to initiate. So by modeling it, we're teaching people how to travel. They also get help writing. Everybody that we know comes back and likes to write about their trips, and it's deadly boring because they really don't know how to write about it. So we try to help them to find their voice and write about their travels, to come back with pictures that are not snapshots, but Paul really works with people in the field showing them how to photograph. So the advantage is that it's a deep experience. It's not just going to a country and then you go to another country. We know these countries very well. We've been there multiple times. And we get them, we drop below the surface very, very quickly. So they'll see all the sights, but they're also having a personal, life-enhancing experience. It's an experience as much as it's a trip.
You're not on a bus, locked in a bus, whizzing through the countryside, looking at it as if you're in a bubble. And nobody is there just constantly telling you about it. You're experiencing it.
Paul, that's good.
And our friends. And the reason there's kind of an urgency for us in trying to do that. One, for Americans to not have this experience because they've bought so much into fear that's being pervaded generally about the world and other people. We try and end that because if we're more alike generally in the world than we're different. Where we're different, it's interesting more than threatening. And the other thing is the world is changing too fast. It doesn't have to be that people are there. The Internet is. For instance, teenagers look the same all over the world. Backwards baseball cap, soccer jersey, iPod, they're the same. Even if their parents are dressed in traditional clothes, they don't anymore. And it's going away that fast.
Wow. Have you encountered participants on your tours or on your trips that have expressed the desire to make a business out of the journalism the way you two have?
Yes. Last year, we trained 55 people, and of them...
In several trips.
Wow.
Several trips. We had...
Cool.
This is not just our trips. These are just the workshops we do, teaching people how to do travel writing.
Mm-hmm.
We took them to another country. We took them deep into the Yucatan near Belize. We took them to Guatemala, and we taught them how to do this. And on our trips, there are no formal classes. They're learning in the field, but already a handful of them are making a living as travel writers. But, David, this is for people who love travel. In other words, our feeling is if you love something, figure out how to make it into a small business for yourself. If you're a traveler, this is a way that you can make travel pay for itself. It's the way to get you on the road. It's the way to keep you excited about your own life. We don't get up in the morning and say, we have to go to work. We get up in the morning and say, where are we going? Oh, my God, what have you found out about it? How can we sell stories? So there's really no separation between our work and our life.
And it doesn't have to be the big, overall, daunting picture of travel. One thing that's interesting, fascinating, and helps some of our students that have gone on and are now travel writers and photographers themselves, is they have a particular interest, and they view the world from that particular interest. In other words, if they like music, you go to a foreign country or a location even in the United States, and you're hearing a type of music you haven't heard before or one that you really like and you know about, you're the expert. There's a chance to sell something right there, photograph something, meet people you want to meet. So that's one thing, or collecting something. You go to the marketplaces, the souks, the bazaars, and you'll see some craftsman working in something that you collect, love, and know about or want to know about.
And also the range, the age range of people who've come with us is 16 to, well, actually 18, let's say 18 to 85. So people are reinventing themselves. We have one guy who traveled with us. He's 75 years old, and in the last year, he's worked at it, and he's got a career going as a travel journalist photographer.
How wonderful. How wonderful. Where are you going next?
We're going next to, I can't believe we're doing this, but the Beehive Rocket Festival in Taiwan. Where it's kind of like the running of the bulls, but instead of you running from bulls, you're running from rockets that people are showing you. 50,000 people together.
So and we've got giant crowds packed together, all wrapped up like it's against the cold, but it's against the fire being shot at you. In other words, the rockets are fired, small ones hopefully, into the crowd. I really wonder why we said yes to this.
But we're also going to explore Taiwan, and then we're flying to Hong Kong for a week there. So that's the next trip on the horizon. That will be in a few weeks.
That we know about, but often we'll get a last-second invitation or an assignment to go somewhere and cover something, and we're off. We're out the door as soon as we can.
And what a fascinating way to make a living and have a small business around the thing that you love to do. Our guests have been Judith Fine and Paul Ross. The company, www.globaladventure, that's singular, globaladventure.us. Thanks so much for sharing your experience and for traveling with us. Thanks for joining us on the program.
You've been listening to Small Biz Spotlight, up-close interviews with small business leaders and entrepreneurs across America. For more information about our guests or to subscribe, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.